So tonight's shiur is on the philosophy of Matanos Lev Yonim. So it struck me last week, I was just thinking about it, and the question arose, you know, why do we give tzedakah on Purim? Now that's the basic question. Because how does it fit into the whole structure of Purim and the nes of Purim? It would seem to be something extraneous. So that was the question that was bugging me, so I figured, do some research, try to understand what the philosophy is of Matanos Lev Yonim. Because I understand Simcha, and Mishdeh kind of fits in because they were happy because they just won the war. And Mishloach Manos, even Mishloach Manos, you know, it's kind of understandable. But Matanos Lev Yonim, you know, where does it come from? You know, why do we do it on Purim? You have an idea already.
The Simcha is for everyone. So there are people who can't participate in Simcha if they don't have the monetary ability to pay for a meal or whatever it is.
Okay.
So that's one, you know, way to assist them in their own simcha.
Okay. That's definitely a possibility, but I just want to look at the uniqueness of Matanos Lev Yonim before we define it. But it's a good possibility. So the first method of analysis starts with the Pesukim. So there's something strange in the Pesukim. So if you look at, it's an Esther Perek Tes, and I'm just starting from Pasuk Tes Vav. So the Pesukim, I'm just going to read through them. So it says, Vayikaldu Hayehudim Asher B'Shushan Gam B'Yom Arba'asar L'Chodesh Adar. So the Jews of Shushan, they gathered on the 14th day of Adar. Vayahargu B'Shushan, and they killed in Shushan Shlosh Me'os Ish, 300 people. Uvabizal Lo Shalachu Es Yadam, and they didn't take any of the spoils. Okay. Ushar Hayehudim Asher B'Medinos HaMelech. So in the other states where there are other Jews, Nekhalu, they all gathered, v'amod al nafsham, and they protected themselves, v'noach me'oyvehem, and they got rest from their enemies, v'harag b'soneim, and they killed those who hated them, chamisha v'shivim elef, 75,000, uvabizah lo shalachu es yadam, and they didn't take the spoils again. So we're not really going to address why they didn't take the spoils, it's just more of background information, these psukim. So it says, b'yom shlosha asar l'chodesh adar. So on the 13th day of Adar, that's when they fought. V'noach ba'arba asarbo, and they rested on the 14th. V'asa oso yom mishdeh v'simcha. So they made that day a day of partying and happiness. Okay. V'ayudim asher b'shushan, and the Jews that were in Shushan nikhalu b'shlosha asarbo uva'arba asarbo. So they gathered up on the 13th and the 14th. V'noach b'chamisha asarbo, and they rested on the 15th. V'asa oso yom mishdeh v'simcha. So they made that day, the 15th, a day of mishdeh v'simcha. Okay, so from initially, it seems like all they did was party, right? Mishdeh v'simcha, that's all it says. So then the next pasuk says, Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prazim ha-yoshvim ba'arei ha-prazos. So the Jews that lived in the open cities, osim es yom arba'asar l'chodesh adar. So they made the 14th day of Adar, simcha u'mishdeh. So they made it happiness and partying, v'yom tov, and a yom tov, u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. And they sent out, and they did mishloach manos. So what's the difference between this and the psukim before? It seems like the psukim before are a reference to the actual battle, like right after what happened. They just partied, and they were happy. But this is talking about what they accepted upon themselves, naturally. So they accepted upon themselves naturally to have simcha and do mishloach manos, right? Okay, let's just go on. So it says, Vayichtov Mordechai es hadvarim ha'ela. So Mordechai, he wrote down these things, meaning the Megillah. Vayishlach svarim, he sent out svarim, el kol yehudim asher b'chol medinos ha'melech, achashverosh, hakrovim ha'aruchokim. So he sent out the Megillah to people, to Jews, all throughout the medinos of achashverosh. L'kayim aleihem, in order to establish and for them, lios osim es yom arbasar l'chodesh adar, ves yom chamisha sarbo b'chol shana v'shana. To make it a chag every single year, kayomim, just like the yomim asher nachu bahem hayehudim me'oyvehem, that the yehudim rested from their enemies, v'achodesh asher nepach lahem yagon l'simcha u'me'evel l'yomtov, and the month that turned from anguish to happiness and from avelus depression to yomtov, lasos osam, to make them yemei mishdeh v'simcha, so party and happiness, u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu, and mishloach manos, u'matanos le'evyonim, and matanos le'evyonim. V'kibel ha-yehudim, eis asher achilu lasos, v'eis asher kasav Mordechai aleihem. So the Jews accepted this upon themselves, and now that's how Purim was created. Okay, so what's strange about these psukim? What's strange about the psukim?
I mean, it first says, Simcha Mishtev Yom. It doesn't say Matanos Lo Yom.
Right. So in the beginning, the Jews just accepted upon themselves partying and Mishloach Manos, but they didn't accept Matanos Lo Yom. Then Mordechai comes along and he's Misakein and he includes Matanos Lo Yom into Purim. So the question is, why did he do that? Right. In other words, especially since it says Kayamim Asher Nachu Bahem Ayudim, like the days that they celebrated. Meaning, if you want to make it identical to the days of their celebration, then you shouldn't include Matanos Lev Yonim, because there's no mention of Matanos Lev Yonim in the actual celebration.
Right.
So the basic question is, why is it that initially the Jews accepted it upon themselves to party and to be happy and to send out Mishloach Manos, but Mordechai, he added this extra element of Matanos Lev Yonim? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of takes out your approach.
A little bit.
Okay. All right. So the Malbim on Megillas Esther, he notes this problem, this issue, and he gives a little bit of an opening to understand it, but not. I don't think he gives like a complete idea of the philosophy of Matanos Lev Yonim. All right. So we're just going to do the Malbim inside. Do you want to read?
Sure.
All right. So the Malbim is the second, number two. It just starts from V'chodesh Asher Nepach Lahem, the top line.
V'chodesh Asher Nepach Lahem. Ki shnei dvarim nehepach lahem v'chodesh hazeh.
Okay.
Aleph migun.
Miyagon.
Miyagon l'simcha.
Okay.
Beis ma'avo liyom tov.
Okay, so there's two things that you see in the Pasuk. It says... V'achodesh asher nepach lahem miyagon l'simcha, from anguish to simcha to happiness, u'me'evel l'yom tov. So the Malbim's noting that there's two different, they seem to be repetitive, because what's the difference between miyagon l'simcha u'me'evel l'yom tov? Okay? Mm-hmm. So go on.
V'neged ha-simcha, ya'asu yimei mishte v'simcha, v'neged ha-yom tov sha'ata lo yachol Mordechai l'takein Shiyasu Yom Tov.
Okay, so what's he saying? You want to translate?
Yeah. So when it comes to the Simcha, so he, over there you're making Yasu, you may mishtev the Simcha. It's the Simcha comes with it days of partying and happiness and meal.
Okay.
And when it comes to Yom Tov, the time is Mordechai wasn't able to mitakein to make it a Yom Tov.
Okay, so go on.
Because you can't make a new Yom Tov.
Right.
Tikein Matanos Lev Yonim. So therefore, he was Mitakein Matanos Lev Yonim.
Okay.
Shizos Lo Kiblu Haparazim Me'emsam.
Me'atmam.
Me'atmam.
So the unwalled cities, they didn't accept Matanos Lev Yonim on themselves. Because you see, we saw in the Psukim themselves that it just says, Simcha Mishtev Yom Tov Mishloach Manos Isra'eu, but it doesn't say Matanos Lev Yonim initially, so they didn't accept Matanos Lev Yonim on themselves. Go on.
So Mordechai just he because he couldn't institute a Yom Tov itself, he had to be mitakein something.
Yes.
Okay. Seems strange.
Go on.
Ki was it Tachlis?
Yeah, Ki Tachlis. Sorry.
Ki Tachlis Hayom Tov Haya Lifrosh Bo. Mehabli ha'olam, lavodos Hashem
v'torasa.
V'tziva neged zeh sheyitnu tzedakah shehu gam kein mitzvah. Seems very strange.
Okay. The Malbim, so what's the Malbim saying? So the Malbim is saying that Mordechai, he noticed something. He noticed two ideas, and he decided to be misakein two concepts or two mitzvos keneged those two ideas. And the two ideas are expressed in the Psukim. It says, Miyagon l'simcha, that the Chodesh turned from anguish to happiness, and Me'avel, Me'evel, the Yom Tov, and it turned from depression to Yom Tov. So the Malbim is saying that really, Keneged Simcha, he was Metakein, Mesakein, Mishta, right, partying, and Keneged Yom Tov, that idea of Me'evel, the Yom Tov, he was Mesakein the idea of Tzedakah. So the question is, what exactly is the idea behind this, right? I don't think the Malbim... One question on the Malbim is, why Tzedakah, you know? Is it just random? Did he just pick any mitzvah and just misakin it? Or is there something unique to Tzedakah that fits into the idea of Purim?
I was thinking the Yom Tov, the Yimei Mishteh would go better with the Yom Tov. if you're gonna for Yom Tov, you'd be right. talking Mishta maybe.
Right. It's because on Yom Tov itself.
In general, yeah.
Right. So what's the idea? What's the main idea that the Malbim's saying? Let's just characterize the idea. He's saying there's two things that went on: Yagon LeSimcha and Eva LeYom Tov. So what's the difference between those two? What's Yagon LeSimcha referring to? Just characterize it. Kind of happiness. It's an emotional happiness, right? Mm-hmm. Yagon is pain and anguish, and Simcha is just a happiness, an emotional happiness. So where did that come from? From the Nes. You know, they were just saved. It's just basic ideas. The Klal Yisrael were just saved, and it's natural to feel happy because they're in a state where they felt like they were going to be destroyed, and there's an incredible emotional effect of Simcha. But what's Eivel Yom Tov, according to the Malbim?
The Eivel Yom Tov is just... Neged haSimcha shiYasu yimei Mishta. The Simcha is just
that's for the Simcha, the Yagon LeSimcha. But what about he says Tachlis haYom Tov hu haya lefrosh bo mehavli haOlam laAvodas Hashem misarasa. So what he noticed? He noticed that the Jews in the time of Megillas Esther, not only were they happy that they have like an emotional happiness over the Nes, but their dedication to Avodas Hashem was reinvigorated as a result of that. So there's two ideas that he's saying. Yagon LeSimcha is the idea of an emotional happiness, and Me'eva LeYom Tov is an idea of a renewed sense of Avodas Hashem, or dedication to Avodas Hashem. Why does it pick Eva LeYom Tov? Now this is like a side point, but Avelis in general, the din of Avelis is learned out from the Mikdash, and there's an idea that you're not allowed to be an Oved in the Mikdash when you're in Avelis. So when a person's in Avel, they're removed from that state, the optimal state of serving God. But Yom Tov is, the whole purpose is Lavodas Hashem. We eat Korbanos, we bring Korbanos on Yom Tov. So the idea is that, so what's the idea of Malbim saying in general? How would you characterize it? I would say that the Mordechai, he noticed that there was two elements or two effects of the Nes. One effect was a natural happiness over being saved from the Nes.
Right.
And the other effect was that Klal Yisrael were reinvigorated in terms of their Avodas Hashem.
Right. So then, how does the Matanos LaAvyonim
help
for the invigoration of the
right? Meaning that's the question. Meaning, fine, you're right. So he noticed that there is two elements, and they have to be represented in halacha. One element was the simcha, the natural happiness, that's through partying, and the other is a renewed sense of Avodas Hashem or dedication to Avodas Hashem. So he instituted a mitzvah. But the question is that you're asking is why this mitzvah? You know, what does this mitzvah have to do with that renewed sense of invigoration, or what does this mitzvah have to do with the Nes, with Purim?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but at least we have a framework to, you know, to deal with this. You know, in other words, you see that there's these two ideas. There's a famous medrash. I don't know if you know about it. It's Kiblu Vikimu Hayehudim, that the medrash says that the Jews reaccepted the Torah. As opposed to by Har Sinai, where it says Kaf Alam Har Kigigis, that the Medrash says that God he took Har Sinai and he placed it over them and he threatened them and he said, if you don't accept the Torah, I'm going to drop this mountain upon you. So Chazal say that in the time of the Nes, the Jews reaccepted the Torah out of Ava, out of love. So you see from that Medrash the same idea, which is that it's not enough to just be happy that the Jews were just happy over being saved from the Nes, but you see that one of the effects of the Nes was this reattachment to Torah, like a certain different level of attachment to Torah as a result. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, fine. But we still have the main question is, why Tzedakah? You know, what does Tzedakah have to do with Purim, right? All right, so I think we're going to do a little bit of drush here, but I think we should just look at the uniqueness of Matanos LeAvyonim. Because what category is Matanos LeAvyonim in? It's in the category of Tzedakah, right? But there's certain halachos that are unique to Matanos LeAvyonim that you don't see by other Tzedakah. So maybe we can take from that and try to understand like a little bit of the underlying concept or the philosophy.
Tzedakah in general, there's no mechayev to give X amount. It's just
right. We're gonna see that. That's part of the uniqueness. But yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So I'm just using the Rambam. Because he's the most simplest presentation, but the Rambam is very similar to the Shulchan Aruch in terms of the halachos. So don't think that I'm like favoring the Rambam. It's just a matter of simplicity. It's like easier to read. So I'll read the Rambam. So the Rambam is at the end of Hilchos Megillah, Parak Beis. So the Rambam says like this: V'chayav l'chalek l'aniyim b'yom ha'purim. So you have to divvy up money and give it out on Yom HaPurim. Ein pachos mishnei aniyim. So it can't be less than two aniyim. No sein l'chol echad matana achas. O ma'os o mine tafshil o mine ochlin. Shenemar umatanos l'evyonim. Shtei matanos l'shnei aniyim. So the first halacha by matanos l'evyonim is that you have to give to two aniyim. And you have to give two matanos, two gifts, to two aniyim. It doesn't have to be food, it could be money, it could be anything. But the idea is two and two. So you asked a good question, right? So you mentioned before that there's, in general, the halacha of tzedakah is not that you have to give a certain amount to a certain amount of people. So the question is, obviously, by Purim, why is it that Matanos Levyonim demands that you give two gifts to two aniyim? Like, what's that idea? Why is it different than any other? Because if you want to say that Mordechai was just added in a mitzvah in order to reflect the fact that the Jews now had a renewed sense of Avodas Hashem, so just do a basic mitzvah tzedakah, give out tzedakah. Why is it two matanos to two avyonim? So a strange kind of.
So it seems arbitrary. What's why not three? Why not one?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So why two and two? It says, it doesn't say, it's a good point, but he says, ein pachos mishnei aniyim. You can't give less than two. So it's better to give to more, but the idea is there's, at a minimum, you have to give to two. So the question is why? You know, what is it about matanos levyonim that we could say that could explain that anomaly, right, in tzedakah? All right, you hear the question? All right. So that's halacha one. There's only three main halachos that are make matanos levyonim unique. So we're just going to, so the second halacha is, the ein medaktikin b'ma'os Purim, so you can't be exact in the money of Purim. Ela kol poshet yado litol nostin lo. So anybody who sticks their hand out, you have to give it to them. So this is a unique halacha in matanos levyonim. So what does it mean? It means factually that normally in certain situations, if you know a guy's a cheat and you know the guy's really rich and he's just coming to you for money, you can check him and you don't have to give him money. But over here on Purim, if anybody opens their hands to you, you have to give them money. You see a lot of it in Far Rockaway when you're going down Reed's Land on Purim. I don't know if you've ever been there on Purim. It's crazy. Like, there are guys just, as soon as you drive down Reed's Lane, everybody's just, everybody sticks their hands in your car. Keep your car windows up if you don't want to give out money. But the idea is that a lot of people are asking for money on Purim. But the halacha is that you're not allowed to check them, meaning if you're suspicious of them, You still have to give them. You're chayav to give them. It doesn't say a specific amount, but you're chayav to give them. So that's a strange thing, right? Because let's look at the Rambam in tzedakah. So the Rambam says, do you want to read the Rambam? It's sure. Number four.
Ani she'ein makirin oso v'amar ra'av ani ha'achiloni ein bodkin acharav shema ramayu ela mif Farnisin oso miyad, right? Okay. So like you don't really question his who he is,
right?
But you just give him right away,
right?
Haya arum.
He says she'ain makir no. So let's say you are makir. It sounds like you could. Let's say you know the guy's not really hungry. So it sounds like from the Rambam that in that situation you could, you don't have to give him. But in
a
situation
like the regular,
yeah. But in a situation where you don't know the guy and the guy says I'm hungry, I'm starving, you don't check him. You just give him food. Right. All right.
Hayarum v'omer kasuni bodkin acharav shema ramayu.
Okay, so if a guy's naked, his clothes are tattered, and he says, "I need clothes. Can you cover me up?" So in that situation, you do check and you try, because it's a little strange if an ani comes to your door and he's naked or he's not clothed.
But how is that any different than any other sort of tzedakah on Purim? Saying he's asking for something.
Yeah, so on Purim it's different. I'm saying on Purim, that's the whole question. Over here, the Rambam is saying a general din of tzedakah is that there are situations where you're allowed to be bodik, like in this case. But on Purim, you have no choice. You have to give.
Oh, okay, fine.
That's that's the question.
Okay. Vim hayu makirin oso, machzin oso lefi kvodo, miyad, ve'ein bodkin acharav.
Let's say you know that the guy really does need, then you do have to give him. Right?
Right.
But this just strengthens the question. The main question is, What's the difference between Matanos Lev Yonim and regular tzedakah? So another difference that we see is in terms of being bodek, a person. So in general, there are situations where you do have a right to check a person. If you know a guy's a cheat, you don't have to give him tzedakah. But by Purim, even if you know or you're suspicious of the guy, you still have to give him money. So the question is why, right? This is more of a philosophy share. It's not really a halachic definition. But
in general, that's a poor approach to tzedakah.
Yes.
Like, it's just throwing away to anything.
Right.
It defeats the whole purpose.
All right, good. All right. All right, let's go on to one more halacha, okay? Because there's three halachos, and then I think we can try to come up with an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the last halacha is... where is it? It says, Ve'ein mishanin ma'os purim letzedakah acharas. So let's say... So what does that mean? So let's say you collect... No, it's the very bottom of number three, the Rambam, the last line. Okay, it's just after the comma. The aim is shanin mo'os purim letzedak acharis. So if you collect money for purim, so the halacha is that you can't use that money for any other tzedakah. So let's say you know there are certain almanos, like widows, who need money. You can't take the money from purim and divvy it out to them. Or you can't, if somebody gives you money for purim, you can't use it for another time or another type of situation. So, one last question. So, if you look, Tosfos on the Gemara, where this halacha is brought down, he asks the question. He basically says, look at Tosfos, number 5. He says, Migbas Purim La Purim. So, that's the halacha. Basically, that whatever you collect for Purim must go to Purim. Okay? So, he says, V'im Tomar, and if you want to say, De'amrinan Be'erchin, it says in Gemara Erchin, Ma'o Shel Tztaka, the money of tzedakah mutter l'shanoson. You're allowed to change it b'chol mashayirta to whatever you want. Va'afilu ba'u lidei gabai, va'afilu amar menorah zu lebedek habayis. Even if you give it to the gabai and you say this menorah is dedicated to the mikdash, mutter l'shanoson the mitzvah acheres. You're allowed to move it to another mitzvah. V'yesh lomar didafka bepurim amrin an hacha. Only on Purim do we say that you can't move money around. The ein l'shanos. And that you can't change. That's a different halacha. The Ram doesn't bring it down. That the money for that city, also applies to that city. But the main question that Tosfos is asking is, he's saying, what kind of halacha is this? In general, by Hilchos Tzedakah, you can move money wherever you want. But by Matanos Lev Yonim, you can't. You have to use it for Purim, right? So now I think we have all the information that we need to try to give an idea for the basic concept of Matanos Lev Yonim. Okay?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew right away.
All right, so let's go step by step, okay? So what is the common theme in these three halachos? What would you say is a common theme? Can you pick out anything out of these three halachos in the Rambam that would be common?
That there's restrictions on the mitzvah, as opposed to generally where there's no restriction on the mitzvah of tzedakah. Here we have these guidelines that are sort of, for some reason, there.
Okay, but what is the nature of the guidelines? I would say it's a little bit, what are the nature of the guidelines?
What is the idea?
We said normally by tzedakah, you give to one person is tzedakah. So what's the idea of two? What does that reflect about the nature of the tzedakah? Or the fact that you're just willing to give out to whoever wants it? What kind of giving is that?
So it's kind of the state that you're in. Let's say on Purim, you're in a certain state. I mean, you should be in a certain state of givingness.
Okay, good. I like it.
Or lack of frugalness.
Okay, good. Okay, so you're noting that the common theme in the halachos is that there's a willingness to give, and there's no restriction or hesitation, it seems like, in the giving, in the process of giving. Whereas normally, a guy would check another ani in certain situations. Here, there's no restriction on giving. There's no hesitation. There's a certain willingness to give, right?
Why?
Or by Matanos Lev Yonim. So there's two. It's more than one. So the idea is that there's a certain willingness to give. In other words, if it was just one, there'd be a restriction on giving to one person. But the idea of Ein Pachos Mishnayim is an idea of an abundance, a certain willingness to give. And the idea of not changing money is also an idea that the idea is that you're supposed to spend all the money of Purim on Purim. There's not supposed to be any hesitation or restriction on what you use the money for. In other words, so even if you know that you're going to overspend, the halacha is that you're supposed to spend more on Purim, and then whatever's left over, you can sell and get the money back. but you can't exchange the money or move the money around.
So,
but
so,
you said, yeah.
So why? What's you know inherent in Purim necessarily? Okay. That's.
But you said, I just want to take an idea that you said. So you said that the person's in a certain state, right? On Purim. So what is that state?
A state of Simcha,
right? So I would say, just to define the Rambam is saying that Matanos Lev Yonim is a tztaka of Simcha. It emerges from Simcha. So the tztaka that is a tztaka of Simcha has different characteristics than a regular din of tztaka, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we said that the expression of a tztaka shel simcha is a certain willingness to give out money, right? But what is that idea? So what was the simcha of Purim? Why were they happy?
Because they won the war. They won the war and they didn't get annihilated.
Okay, and they didn't really win the war. They didn't win anything. Ahasuerus was still in power, but they didn't get annihilated, right? So the idea is that the simcha is that they were facing certain death and destruction, and now they were saved by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that produces naturally a certain simcha, a certain happiness, right? So when a person's in that state, right? So how do they relate to their money in general?
I mean, you throw it around. If you're more simcha, you're probably.
But what's the willing. Simcha? It's not just simcha, it's a simcha of being saved from destruction, right?
Oh, so it's. You have a realization that you're no longer in control.
Okay.
So is a certain understanding of reality that money has no, it really doesn't mean anything.
All right, good.
Because you have a sense of reality that anything can change at any single point.
Good.
So.
All right. Money. So you're saying, so what you're saying is good. So you're saying that really the simcha of Purim, of the Nes of Purim, is tied to a recognition that they were saved and they weren't annihilated. But when a person's saved, in general, from a life-threatening situation, it usually changes your relationship to your money and to your possessions. Because you realize that what's more important in life? You know, it's my life or my money. It usually tends to change your perception, maybe temporarily, of your money. And you realize that money is finite and that once you die, you won't have your money with you. And the idea is that in the simcha of Purim, there's a recognition that you might have died, and that should affect your relationship to your money. So the idea is of Matanos Lev Yonim is that Matanos Lev Yonim is a tztaka that emerges from the state of Simcha of Purim. So if a person's in a natural state of Simcha over being saved from annihilation, it should result in a change of relationship to their possessions and their money. And that's what Matanos Lev Yonim is. Matanos Lev Yonim is really a halachic formalization of that concept, of the concept of a willingness to give and a recognition that a recognition of a certain proper relationship to money, to one's money.
Is there another instance where the Am has been saved from destruction, right?
Like, yeah.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't think of anything. But so why wouldn't something like that be instituted there? Say we say Ahal Nisim by Hanukkah, right?
Yeah.
So why is there no institution of Matanos Lev Yonim by Hanukkah?
Right, it's a good question. I mean, it could be the idea is that it was a different type of happiness because the Jews weren't really facing physical...
Like emotional...
They really weren't facing death. They were facing more philosophical death by Hanukkah, but on Purim, their own mortality was apparent to them. And
right.
The idea is that they could have all been destroyed and annihilated. So the idea is that the simcha of Purim is tied to recognition of one's own mortality, and we're happy that we were saved. But it also should have an effect on the way you relate to your money. So Mordechai, what did Mordechai do? He sensed that there was a tie-in between this mitzvah, the mitzvah of tztaka, and the simcha of Purim, because really, if a person or if Klal Yisrael were in a certain state of simcha, it should lead to a certain type of tztaka naturally. So he basically sensed that. In the nature of the nes, in the nature of the simcha, and he was misaking tztaka because of the fact that there's a relationship between now how a person relates to their money and mitzvahs and the mitzvah of tztaka, and it fits into really simchas Purim.
And that's why it's, you know, it's not just one person, you know, you're not just giving
right exactly
to one person.
That's why it's not one person. It's two matanos, the two of yonim. It's a certain abundance, a willingness to give. Normally, a person hesitates. There's a hesitation when you give tzedakah, but on Purim, you're in a state of simcha, not just any simcha, you're in a state of simcha over being saved. So the idea is that when you're in a state of simcha over being saved, naturally, you're more willing to give, and that hesitation that once plagued a person in a normal state of tzedakah is gone, and you give more willingly. So that's the idea. The idea is that Matan Slav Yonim is a tzedakah of Simchas Purim. It's really tied intrinsically to the nature of Simchas Purim. All right? You like it?
Yeah.
Good? Daniel, you want an overview?
That's fine.
Yeah, so the basic idea that we're saying is that the question, just to summarize, the question is, why do we have Matanas Lavionim on Purim? You know, what does Mitzvah Tzedakah have to do with Purim? So we looked at the uniqueness of Matanas Lavionim. So there's three elements that are unique by Matanas Lavionim. One is that you have to give to two people, and in general, by Tzedakah, there's no chiyuv to give to a certain amount of people. The second idea is that you're not allowed to check the ani. Normally, if you suspect that an ani is Ramai, if he's suspicious and you don't think that he's poor, there are situations where you don't have to give him. But on Purim, you have to give. And the last idea is that you can't move money around. Meaning normally, if you have too much money in tzedakah for Pesach, for example, you can move it to a different tzedakah, a different charity. But by Purim, it has to be used on Purim. So we wanted to say, for the main idea we wanted to say, is that the Jews were in a state of simcha after the Nes. And their lives were in danger, Klal Yisrael and each individual. And when you're saved from a situation like that, it affects your value of money. Because you start looking at your money not as seriously as you did beforehand, because you recognize that your life could have been over. And money doesn't go with you when you die. Money is finite. So the idea is that Matanos Avyonim is really an expression of Simchas Purim. Because when a person's in that state of Simcha, and their relationship to their money is different, now the tzedakah, this idea of tzedakah emerges. And that's why there's this uniqueness to Matanos Avyonim, because all these halachos express a certain willingness to give. Normally there's a hesitation, you're allowed to check the guy, or you only give to one guy. But here there's a certain willingness or abundance and ability to give as much as you can. So that's an expression of the state of Simcha that a person's in on Purim. Question.
So why Mishta? Like if we now have this realization that we were almost destroyed and things could just happen at any time.
Yeah.
So why are we choosing Mishta as another way to symbolize, you know, the day? You know, why not, you know, sit and learn?
Right.
You know,
well, that's the
eventually learning is the ultimate
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that, but that's not really Simcha. You don't really call learning Simcha.
Right.
It's really like on Yontif, it's not Ein Simcha Elo B'Basar V'Yayin. So, I mean, you can't expect.
Isn't it also
expectation. Games? What is?
Drinking, like, to.
Adulu Yada?
Yeah.
Don't drink till it's dangerous.
Well, what if Adulu Yada takes a while for you and that's.
No, the Rambam holds. I mean, this is a totally separate discussion, but the Rambam holds.
I just meant because we were saying like it's a recognition of our mortality.
Oh, that's a different idea. The idea of drinking is not tied to the idea of. I mean, I think because I heard a tape on this many years ago, Rabbi Chait's idea is the idea of drinking is that the Jews reaccepted the Torah in the time of Megillas Esther. It says Kimu v'Kiblu. So the Chazal say that they reaccepted the Torah out of love, out of Ava. So I think the idea Rabbi Chait said is that in order to accept the Torah out of Ava, despite the fact that there's so many restrictions in the Torah, you have to be on a level, on a very high level, to be able to do that. So Bizman Azeh, we have a lot of psychological inhibitions, and we don't want to, it's difficult for us to accept the Torah out of Ava because of the many restrictions that the Torah presents with us. So the idea is that when you get drunk or when you drink, it removes your inhibitions. And the idea is that we're reflecting through getting drunk. We're reflecting the state of Klal Yisrael at the time of reaccepting the Torah. Meaning, we can't do it on their level. We can't reaccept the Torah out of Ava. So we drink to remove the inhibitions that we have of accepting it out of Ava. So it's tied to the idea of like a reacceptance of the Torah. I hope I didn't misrepresent that idea, but I think that's the idea that Rabbi Chait said. So, all right, all right. So just one more idea about Matanos Lev Yonim. Okay? All right. So the next Rambam. The next Rambam is number 6. It's the Rambam right after the Halachos of Matanos Levyonim. So the Rambam says, Mutav la'adam laharbos b'matanos levyonim, sorry, matanos levyonim, mi laharbos b'sudaso v'shloach manos l'reyav. So it's better for a guy to do more matanos levyonim than it is to be involved in his suda and v'shloach manos. She'ein sham simcha gedola u'mefora, there's no greater simcha and more beautiful simcha, ela l'sameach lev aniyim b'yesomim v'almanos v'gerim, than rather than to make happy the hearts of poor people and orphans and widows and gerim. Shamisameach lev ha'umlolam ha'elu, if you are misameach, if you make happy these lowly people, doma l'shechina, you're similar to the shechina, shenemar l'hachios ruach shvalim, to make those who are lowly alive, to keep them alive, l'hachios lev nidkaim. Okay? So the Rambam is saying that if you have a choice, that you should choose to do more matanos levyonim than you should mishloach manos and suda and mishta. Okay.
The reason he was saying is that it's not necessarily this perception of reality. It's more to have these people, you know, to make these people happy.
Okay, good. But what? So here's the question, though. I think we can answer it now. The question is, in general, the Rambam doesn't put this halacha in Hilchos Tzedaka. He puts it here. So if you look throughout Hilchos Tzedaka, he doesn't say anywhere that Hamasameach Lev Ha'umlolam is Doma L'Shechina, it's a great Simcha. He puts it specifically in Matanos Levyonim. So the question is, why is it that the Rambam compares, or he says that you're Doma L'Shechina when you Misameach these people, these lowly people, by Matanos Levyonim in specific? Why doesn't he put it in Hilchos Tzedaka?
I mean, there's a different mindset. When you're giving Tzedaka at this point, as opposed to any other time during the year where you're giving Tzedaka, it's probably more of like a mundane way of doing it.
Okay, good. Well, when you normally give tzedakah to a poor person, what makes you happy about that, typically? Like, be honest. You don't have to
feel like you're a good person.
Yeah, okay, fine. So you're doing it because you feel like you're a good person, but there's a certain sense of superiority over the ani, right? Because you think to yourself, wow, I'm so great. I have all this power, and I just supported this guy. But it's really like there's a part of you inside that feels like I'm great. You know, I was capable of doing this, right? But on Purim, we said that a person's in a different state of mind. He's in a state of simcha, right? So I want to add in one other idea. When a person's in a state of simcha on Purim, it's a result of that life-threatening situation. And typically, when a person goes through a life-threatening situation, it hits their ego, right? You recognize that you could have died. I could have died and I was saved. So when you recognize that, it typically has an effect on your sense of superiority. So the idea is that on Purim, when you give tzedakah, and it's from that state of simcha, it's different than giving tzedakah year-round. Why? Because on Purim, it doesn't come from a sense of superiority, right? The idea is that it comes from the state of simcha, which isn't tied to the idea of superiority. It's a different idea. It's an idea of willingness to give, and it comes from a more realistic perspective. So the idea is that on Purim, the reason why the Rambam limits the idea of Doma L'Shechina, that you're similar to the Shechina, in this case, a Matanos Levyonim, is because of the uniqueness of giving the giving of Purim, of Simchas Purim. Meaning when a person's in a state of Simcha and they give out of that state, it's a more real and a purer concept of giving than during the year. So typically during the year, when you give to a lowly person, the reason why you feel good, you're in Simcha, is because of that superiority, because there's a part of you that feels like you're on a higher level than that person. But here in this situation, by Matanos Levyonim, we said, Ein medaktikin b'maos Purim, meaning there's no sense of superiority. You just give in a willing fashion. The idea is that the giving of tzedakah by Matanos Levyonim is more of a reflection of a pure tzedakah, of giving from pure motives. So that's why the Rambam, he says that you're Doma L'Shechina only by Matanos Levyonim. He doesn't bring this down in Hilchos Tzedakah, because there's a uniqueness to Matanos Levyonim, right? You accept it? All right, yeah. Fine. All right, but what's the idea? Are you guys familiar with the idea of Leidamos L'Shechina? The idea that you're supposed to act in line with God's actions?
Not totally.
Not totally? You're familiar with it. Yeah?
It sounded kind of self-explanatory, right? Like,
well, what's the idea of it? I mean, why do you do that?
Why do you act like God acts?
Yeah. Well, let's look at the halacha. Let's look at the halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Deos, okay? So the Rambam, just let's do the last halacha, halacha Vav. You want to read, Daniel? Yeah, go on.
So, Karu and Abim,
Lakel, Akanuyan. They're like, they're basically like nicknames. Okay, so basically, the Rambam's saying that there's an idea of emulating God's actions, right? Just like He is Racham, you should be Racham. So there's an idea that a person's supposed to set up their personality based on concepts that God reflects through Hashgacha, like that God's a Racham, so you're supposed to act in that way. Go on. Okay, so a guy has to make himself similar as much as possible to these actions, to the actions that are represented by God through Hashgacha, right? So what's that idea? In other words, why do you do that? What's the benefit of that?
To become better.
Is that an end in itself, or is there an idea to, or is there a concept behind why you do that?
When you're comparing yourself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, by means, like it's kind of, it's like, all right, you're nothing compared to all these attributes that he has.
Okay. All right.
So it's like a humbling experience, and that's kind of like the whole idea of Purim. It's, you know, by Matanos Lavionim. You're not as on big of a level as you think you are.
Right. Well, I just want to understand before you answer that. I just want to understand why the Rambam says that because you're Doma Lashchina. He says, there's no greater simcha than Matanos Lavionim. He says, Shamasameach Lev Hom Lam Ha'elu Dome Leshchina. Right? So what does that have to do with simcha? In other words, fine. We explain the idea of why by Matanos Lavionim, as opposed to Tztaka and Hilchos Tztaka, are you more Dome Leshchina. Why? Because you're giving not from a sense of superiority, because you're in a state of simcha. Right? So we said it's a different type of giving. But what's the idea of the Dome Leshchina, and why does that lead, or what's the idea of simcha tied to that? Right? So I think you were going along the path. Do you want to try? What's the idea of, just forget about the Rambam in Purim. What's the idea in general that a person is supposed to act in line with Mahu Rachum, Ata Rachum?
Well,
what do you gain by that?
If you take that the Torah is right and that Hashem created us and all this is the right path, then it only makes sense that you should, if anything, not just follow God's rules, but follow His examples. So if God tells you to do something, you should do it. But even more so, if God acts in a certain way, it would behoove you to try and act in His ways as well.
Okay, but would you agree with just one possibility? Would you agree with the idea that if you act in line with these ideas, that it would give you a greater platform to understanding or gaining knowledge of God?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the idea maybe of Lidamos to be similar in action is that it gives man a greater platform in which to understand God. In other words, if you internalize the idea of Rachamim, the idea of mercy in your own actions, so now it'll give you a greater level of understanding or a greater possibility of understanding what Rachamim is in the framework of God, or at least a greater idea about God. So the idea of Dome Leshchina or being the Hidamos Leshchina is that it's really a means to gaining more knowledge of God. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but what's in terms of Purim or Matan Tov Yonim, what's the comparison over there?
Okay, so the idea is that the idea is that on Purim the Rambam's saying that it's better for a person to be engaged in Matan Tov Yonim because more so than Suda and Mishloach Manos, because he says it's greater Simcha and your Doma Leshchina. So what's the idea? The idea is, like we said, that really the Tztaka of Purim is really unique in that it doesn't come from a sense of superiority, nor does it come from an unrealistic attachment to your possessions, but it's a greater level of Tztaka because you're in that state of Simcha. But the idea is that really leads you to a greater Simcha. Why? Because if a guy, like we said, if a guy is Dome Leshchina, if he does the acts, or he acts in accordance with God's actions, so it leads a person to a greater level of knowledge. And that's really the highest level of Simcha, of happiness. Mm-hmm. When a person gains, the more knowledge they gain about God, and the more knowledge they perceive, the greater the happiness. So the idea is that the Rambam is telling you the better path to Simcha. In other words, the idea is that Suda and the Mishloach Manos is one type of simcha, but if you are engaged in Matanos Lev Yonim, it should lead you on the path to gaining greater knowledge of God, because you're able in this situation to give on a higher level, to give tzedakah on a level, almost so to speak, or in a pure sense. All right?
Yeah.
Good idea? You have any questions? You sure? Go ahead. All right. All right, so one last idea, and then the shiur is over. You guys can ask questions. We can talk about drinking if you want. all right, so the last idea is you have a halacha of simcha of giving to the poor on yantif, right? Are you guys aware of that halacha? So let's look at the Rambam. I just want to compare or contrast what the Rambam says over here by Matanos Lev Yonim and it's stuck by yantif.
Okay, fine.
Okay? So look at the Rambam. Seven. Yeah, number 7. You want to read? Daniel? Just skip that. Skip to Halacha Yud Ches because we're running short on time. Okay, so the basic halacha is that you're chayav not only in your own simcha, but you're chayav to be mesameach your household as well. So with your children, you're chayav to give them nuts, if that works. Tefi mamona. So that actually still works. Bizman is that? Nice jewelry. You get her clothes and nice jewelry based on how much money you have. Tefi mamona is important. Okay, so wait. V'hanashem, the men, they eat basar, they drink wine, because there's no simcha. Simcha only occurs through basar and yayin. Okay? Go on. Okay, so when you're eating, you're chayev to feed gerim and yesomim and almana with the other anim, the other poor people who are lowly. So anybody who doesn't feed these people and he just feeds his own self and his own family, so that's not a simcha of mitzvah, that's a simcha of his own stomach, of his kreso. Go on. Okay, go on. V'simcha kizu kolon hilahem. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Shenamar v'zareisi paras apnechem paras chagechem. Okay, fine. So what's his idea? His idea is that on yantif itself, there's a din of simchas yantif, and you're chayev to give aniyim and poor people. Why are you chayev by yantif to give to the poor people? What's the idea? What's the Rambam saying?
That's more of to it's for them.
It's for who?
It's to show that you're glorifying the chag rather than just. Feeding
okay, good. So you're not right. You're not like an animal eating out of a trough, right. Basically.
If you share it with other people, then you're like putting it's like a whole spread. It's for an occasion versus if you just use the occasion to feed yourself.
Right.
Then you're not
right. So what's the din of tzedakah on yontif? How would you qualify it? Is it how is it different than Purim, or is it the same as Purim? Is Matanos Lev Yonim similar?
It seems similar, but also it's similar in the sense of like it's for this holiday, it's for this whole sim. But in Purim, it seems like your simcha affects how you give, versus here it seems like your giving affects your simcha.
Okay, so you're saying that I think what you're saying is that on Yontif, the din of tzedakah is really tied to the suda, the idea of the eating of the right. person, right?
The eating. It only becomes a simcha if you share it with other people.
Right. So you're saying that your eating, your suda of yantif is qualified by your tzedakah. In other words, if you don't give tzedakah, then your eating is a simcha, is an achilas kreso, just right. an instinctual eating. But if you give, now it makes it that your eating is really on a higher level of eating. But on Purim, the idea, just this is a halachic point, the idea is that the mitzvah matanos lev yonim is not tied to suda, right? It's not a din in it's because the Rambam he uses very different lashon by yantif as opposed to Purim. By yantif he says it's an idea in a suda that a guy is that it's simchas kreso if a guy doesn't give out tzedakah. But over here, the Rambam says if a guy has a choice between Sudas Purim and Matanos Avyonim, he should choose Matanos Avyonim. What do you see? You see that Matanos Avyonim is separate from the idea, the din of Tsuda. They're two separate ideas, they're two separate concepts, as opposed to Yantif, where they're intertwined. So I would just say it's like a different, that's just a halachic point that I noticed, that a person shouldn't think that Matanos Avyonim is a din in the Suuda, but it's a different din, it's totally separate, as opposed to Yantif, where it's intertwined.
In Yantif, it's like the Simcha affects your Suuda, and in Korim, it seems like the Simcha affects
right.
The Suuda.
Right. Well, the Simcha of Tzedaka is on it's its own. It's its own Simcha. Yeah, it's an independent idea,
right.
Independent concept.
But if you don't have the Tzedaka on Yom Tov, then you can't get your Simcha on your Suda.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. So the Simcha of Purim is separate somewhat from the Matanos of Yonim. They're two separate concepts. It could be because, like what the Malbim says, that they're reflecting two different effects of the Nes. One effect was a reconnection to Avodas Hashem, and the other idea, like we said initially, is the idea of just a natural happiness, that when a person feels a natural happiness over being saved, they tend to party. So the idea is that Mordechai recognized that dichotomy in the Nes, so the formulation of the halachos are two separate independent concepts, whereas by Yantif it's intertwined. The idea of Tzedaka and the idea of Simcha are one and the same. So really Tzedaka is really a qualification of the din of Simcha. Okay? Alright. So let's finish up. So the basic idea, so what did we say tonight? So the basic idea we want to say as to what the philosophy of Matanos Avyonim is and why it belongs in Purim is that by Purim you're in a state of Simcha. And the idea is that the tztaka of Matanos Avyonim is really a tztaka that emerges naturally from that state. When a person is saved from a horrible life-threatening situation, so it affects their relationship to their money and also it affects their sense of self-importance. So the idea is that a person can give a higher level of tzedakah, a different type or a different quality of tzedakah when they're in that state of simcha. So I would define Matanos Avyonim as really a natural, something that naturally emerges from the state of simcha of Purim. And one other idea we said was that the idea the Rambam says that you're Dom L'Shechina because of that, meaning this isn't a regular din of tzedakah, it's a din of tzedakah that emerges from a pure motive and pure perspective. And that should lead a person to a greater level of knowledge of God. So if a person has a choice, the idea that Rambam is saying is that you should choose to do Matanos Avyonim, because that will really lead you to a higher level of Simcha, meaning a higher ability to gain knowledge about God. Okay? You guys, good? We're good. All right, good.
Yeah.